Hey there, and welcome back to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, Rick continues in his series called Connecting with God, the Lord's Prayer. In this series, Rick shows us what it means to be truly spiritually connected to God and to each other through the power of God's love and God's Word. Okay, no need to wait. Here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Prayer of Cleansing.
I tried to bargain with God. God, if you'll forgive me, I will never do it again. God said, don't make promises, just go get it right. God, if you will forgive me, I will never sin again. Right. Just go get it right. God, if you will forgive me, I tried to bargain with God. I will read my Bible every day the rest of my life. I will tell somebody about Jesus every day. God said, don't make promises, go get it right. And I said, I don't want to. He said, Rick, if you won't be real with me, I won't be real with you. I want to bless your life. I want to use your life. But if I can't trust you in the little things of life, how can I trust you in the big things of life? This is a test. I tossed and turned all night from about midnight to about 5 a.m. in the morning, and finally I just go, okay. And I just finally said I would do it so I could go to sleep. But I didn't really mean it. And I got up the next morning, and it was a Saturday, and I did everything except go make those sins right. I did all my homework. I cleaned up my room. I washed both of my parents' cars. I cleaned up the patio. I offered to do errands for my mom. I was doing everything except that which I really needed to do. That night, I had been invited to be a guest speaker to a youth meeting, a youth rally at a small church about 30 miles away. I got in the car, drove over to that church, and I spoke that night. I shouldn't have spoken. I was out of fellowship with God, out of fellowship with other people, myself. God's power and presence wasn't there. God's blessing was there. The words were just bouncing off the wall. And I went home very discouraged and very defeated, knowing that God was withholding his blessing on my life. My dad, who was a pastor, asked me, he said, Rick, can you go tomorrow up to a little town about 60 miles from here, and can you fill in there for the pastor there who's sick? And I said, sure. So I drove an hour north, and I went to this little church. And I spoke that morning, and I spoke that evening, and all afternoon I just wrestled with God, knowing that there was something intentionally between me and God that I was refusing to get right. I knew it was wrong, but I would not give in. And to speak to this group was a waste of their time and a waste of my time, and there was no blessing, no power, no grace. And I was discouraged and depressed and defeated, and I knew this wasn't working. I got in the car, and as I was driving back home that night, in the dark, I finally just broke down and said, okay, God, I am so sorry. I'm never going to allow any little thing to get between me and you if I know it. Willingly, I will confess it when I make mistakes, when I sin, when I blow it. And I commit to getting this right. I got home that night, and my parents and my sister were sitting in the living room watching television. Now, to show you how long ago this happened, my parents were watching Bonanza. Okay, so it's that old, all right? And I walked in, and I didn't even say anything. I just walked over to the television in front of them and flipped it off, turned it off like that, and I turned around and said, I don't need you to do anything. But I need somebody to just confess this to, and I need to get it off my chest. I've already confessed it to God. I need to confess it to somebody else, and I need to ask you to pray for me that I will have the courage to go get these three things right. And I admitted those three things there to my parents and my sister. I have this scar from my sister. No. I made that part up. So I just a minute, and I got on my knees in the living room, and I bowed, and I began to cry and weep profusely. And my parents and my sister began to pray for me. And I felt the power of God fall on my life. like I had never experienced before or since. And I could feel the blessing of God flowing into my life. And I could feel the power of God flowing into my life. And God saying, you passed the test. And I'm going to use you. I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing to other people. And that power flowing into my life was the turning point in my life. I want this so badly for you. You have no idea how much God wants to use your life. You have no idea how much God wants to bless your life. The things He could do in your life would astound you if your life was a clean vessel. But you got to do business with God. You've got to pray the prayer of cleansing. Forgive us our debts, our sins, our transgressions, and mean it and get specific. I want to give you now, very simply, real quickly, the 6 steps on the path to a clear conscience. There is no reason you should leave this building with any guilt in your life. Whatever guilt you've been carrying for weeks or months or years, you need to deal with it now, make business with God, and go out with a clear conscience and be guilt-free. How do you do it? 6 steps on the back of your outline there. Here's the steps. Number 1, I review every area of my life. That's the first step. I review every area of my life. We call this making it a personal moral inventory or a personal spiritual assessment. And what you do is you sit down with God in a quiet space by yourself, all alone, when you're unhurried, and you do what I just told you about I did. God, I'm going to do business with you, and I'm going to make a list of anything that's between me and you that's wrong in my life that I feel guilty about, consciously or unconsciously. Help me to know the things that I know that are wrong and the things that I don't know that are wrong. The Bible says in Lamentations chapter 3, let us test and examine our ways. Now you get off by yourself with a pen and a notepad where you're totally undisturbed. You ask God to reveal your sins. You say, Lord, clear my mind. Let me give you a verse to write down. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, anything, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That is a prayer saying, God, turn your spotlight on my inner side. Find the stuff that's entangled me, that's hindering me, that's holding me back. Now you take your time. You don't rush it. You don't say, God, I got 5 minutes for you to reveal every sin I've ever done. No, you take your time. And you say, write it all down. You say, well, couldn't I just think it? Why do I have to write it down? You have to write it down. Writing makes it specific. Thoughts disentangle themselves through the lips and the fingertips. You talk it and you write it. If you haven't written it down, you haven't really thought about it. It makes it specific. By the way, it's also cathartic. It helps get it out of you and onto the paper. You want to get the gunk out of you. Now, you're going to burn this paper later on, but you just get it out of you. The Bible says this, if we judged ourselves in the right way, God would not judge us. Now, to get you started, I've written here a personal spiritual assessment. And if you open it up, inside, it's a sin list. Here's a personal spiritual assessment too. The following is a list of common sins that prevent God from blessing and using our lives. As you prayerfully read this, examine yourself and circle or highlight or underline the areas that apply to you. You don't even have to write them down. I'm making this easy. You just read it, go, yep, that's me, yep, that's me, yep. You underline it, you circle it, you highlight it. And then when you get to the end, at the end, you go, now God, is there anything else? And you write down those things too. And nobody else is going to see this. It's just between you and God. It's a personal spiritual assessment. By the way, we'll put it on the website too, so those of you who are watching on the internet can download it. And those of you who would like other copies can download it too. Now, nobody else is going to see this. Now, let me ask you a very important question. How serious are you about God blessing your life? How badly do you want God's blessing in your life? Oh, I'd like to have it. Enough that you're willing to be gut-level honest? Are you willing to be honest to God? Are you willing to be honest with yourself? Are you going to lie to yourself? Are you going to be willing to be honest with other people? Are you going to just live in denial? Denial and God's blessing do not go hand in hand. Friend, you are seconds away from liberation. You are seconds away from a feeling of cleanness and joy and purity that you haven't had ever, that you've never experienced. You are seconds away from a total freedom in your life that could set you free from some habits and hurts and hang-ups that are messing up your life. I want to ask you to do this today. Don't procrastinate. There's nothing more important in your life than to have the blessing of God. Go home today, get alone by yourself, read through this, and do a personal moral inventory. That's step one. Now, once you've done that, you do step two. Here's the second step. I repent of every sin. First, I review every area, and then I repent of every sin. What does it mean to repent? It means three things. It means, first, I take responsibility for my sin. Yep, I'm not going to blame anybody else for this. Second, it means I turn away from those things. And third, it means I turn toward God and His grace and say, God, I don't want to be that anymore. I take responsibility, I turn away, and I turn to. That's what it means to repent. Now, what do you do on that? The Bible says this, let us turn again in repentance to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven and say, we have sinned and rebelled. You write it down. You accept responsibility. What does it mean to repent? Well, first, I don't rationalize it. I don't say, well, it was no big deal. Well, it was a big deal. You wouldn't have remembered it. I don't minimize it. I don't rationalize it. I say, well, it happened so long time ago, or it's just a stage I went through, or everybody does it. Doesn't matter. You don't rationalize, you don't minimize, you don't accuse, you don't excuse, you don't blame others. Well, it was mostly their fault. Well, it may have been 99.9% their fault. God says you accept responsibility for your 1% or 0.1%. What am I saying? Listen very closely. The greatest holdup to the healing of your hang-up is you. You're not waiting on God. You're not waiting on anybody else. The hang-ups in your life, the greatest hold-up to your hang-up is you. God wants to heal it in your life. Now, the Bible says this up here on the screen. If we claim to be without sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're living in a world of illusion, the Bible says. We're acting in a fantasy world. We're pretending, we're faking it. If we claim to be without sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're certainly not deceiving God, and we're not even deceiving anybody else because everybody else knows you've blown it. We just deceive ourselves. It's self-deception, and the truth is not in us. Now listen very closely to this. The things that defeat you in your life, the self-defeating habits in your life that you don't like about you, would you like to get rid of them? You will stop defeating yourself when you stop deceiving yourself. I will stop defeating myself when I stop deceiving myself. It all starts with gut-level honesty. That's wrong. No matter how much I rationalize and excuse it, it's wrong. And I need to admit it and confess it and get it out of my life. Let me ask you a very important question. What are you pretending not to know? What are you pretending not to feel guilty about? What are you pretending was not a sin? What are you pretending doesn't bother you, but it really does? Don't you think it's time to finally deal with it and get it out of your life and get it over with? And then have freedom and clear conscience and all that God wants you to have. I review every area. I repent of every sin. Here's the third step. I resolve to make restitution. I resolve to make restitution. As you go through that list, you find somebody that you have hurt and they know it. Then you go and you make restitution. If you've hated them, you've hurt them, you've mistreated them, or you've cheated them, if possible, you make restitution. Now, sometimes it's not possible. They may have died. They may have moved away and you can't find them. They may have remarried and it would be not a good thing for you to reopen an old wound. And so in some situations, you can't make restitution. But anything you can do to make it right, you do so. There's a story in the Bible of a guy named Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector. And I don't want to shock you on this, but he was a tax cheat. Can you imagine anybody cheating on taxes? One day Jesus came to his house and he was so touched by that. Here's what he said. He said, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to your house. I resolve to make restitution. Number four, the fourth thing I do is now I receive God's forgiveness. I receive God's forgiveness. Once I've reviewed every area of my life, I've repented of the sin, I've accepted responsibility, I've resolved to make restitution where I need to, now I receive God's forgiveness. The Bible says this, and by the way, you don't have to be hesitant or shy about coming to God for forgiveness. He says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. I want you to circle mercy and grace. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, and there we will find, he said, not scolding, not punishment, not rejection. He says, when we come to God with our sin, we receive his mercy and we find his grace. What's the difference between mercy and grace? Mercy is forgiveness for all the things you've done in the past. Grace is the power to change in the future. And you need both. You need mercy for all the things you've done wrong in the past, forgiveness. And you need grace, the power to change in the future. And God says, you come to me with honestly with all your sin, and you say, God, this sucks, this stinks, this looks bad. I'm embarrassed about it. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life. And God says, you will have mercy for your past and grace to change in your future. He said, I will give that to you. And you receive God's forgiveness.
Hey, thanks so much for being with us today and listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. I hope that you were just as blessed as I was from today's broadcast. And now here's Rick to tell you about today's offer.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And over all that time, I couldn't count the number of people that I've talked to, and the number one questions that people ask, they've come to me, they come back over and over and over again. I've noticed that people tend to ask the same questions. All of these common questions have common solutions, and they're all found in God's Word. So I sat down, and I took the most common questions that I've been asked over 45 years in ministry, and I began to answer them according to scriptures. And I wrote a little book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. It provides simple, straightforward answers that you can apply right away. In fact, this will get you the answers to probably questions you're asking yourself right now. You say, well, what are those questions? Well, let me just give you a few of them. How do I cope with stress? Have you ever asked that one? How do I rebound from a failure? Have you ever asked that one? How can I be more confident in the crisis that I'm going through? How do I live above average? Why is this happening to me? How can I overcome loneliness? And how do I change the things that I want to change in my life? Well, I answer those questions in this book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. You'll discover the simple truths that God has given to us from His Word. And it's just my way of saying thank you for supporting Daily Hope with your financial gifts.
You know, we're a listener-supported ministry. We don't have any giant secret donors that fund this. I don't do this for a salary. We do this for free as a ministry to you and as a ministry of spreading the word of God around the world. Thanks for listening today. Join me next time as we continue to look into God's word for our daily hope.
Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. And thank you so much for your support. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people everywhere. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.